Well, good morning. Graduates, as Pastor Tom said, congratulations. Every degree is an accomplishment, and it's something that can never be taken away from you. And so we are proud of you, and keep on going, keep on striving. We want to be lifelong learners. Amen? Yeah, we want to be people who continually, for the rest of our lives, learn. And that will look differently, but we don't ever want to stop learning. In fact, I know I don't want to stop learning. I need to learn, continue to do that. It's good to have you with us. If you are new, if you're a visitor, we're glad you're here with us, joining us this morning. We're going to be going through, we're starting actually a new series today. We finished up last week as sort of a transition from our Who Is This Jesus series to now we're back into the Truth series. We started that actually last summer, and we looked at the truth about many different things. And what we look at is we look at areas where our culture and God's Word come into conflict with one another. Maybe our culture is pushing one direction and God's Word is saying something different. And so we want to look at those and dig into those and really evaluate what is the truth about the certain subjects. And this summer it's going to be all about relationships. And I do believe that in our culture, relationships are one of the most misinterpreted, misunderstood, misguided things that we have. I just don't think we do relationships real well, and I will put myself as the first we. And so we're going to hopefully this summer dig into God's Word and look how to really do relationships God's way. Last summer, we started with the truth about marriage, and what we did is we looked at the institution of marriage. We had parts 1, 2, and 3, looking at all the way back from Genesis chapter 2, the very first marriage. If you haven't listened to those and you'd like to, everyone is online, so you can go online and listen to the truth about marriage. I have all of our premarital counseling people listen to those again and again. And again, I haven't listened to them 68 times before they get married, so they, no, not really, but I've re-listened to those as well recently, and it sets a good foundation for marriage. This year, we're going to start off in the home, but we're not going to look at the institution of marriage, we're going to look at the relationships within the home, and so we're going to jump absolutely right in, and we're going to talk about husbands. This morning, men, this is all husbands for you. And of course, as we know, the relationship between a husband and a wife is to be modeled, a model of the relationship between Jesus and the church. So I believe no matter who we are here this morning, there will be something that we can all grab from this. If you are not married, but you are thinking of getting married, young men, this would be something good to listen to, I believe. Because if you're not quite ready for this, then you want to think about that. Young ladies, if you're ever thinking of maybe getting married, going down that road, I think this is something that will apply to you as well. And for all of us, again, these next 2 weeks where we look at husbands this week and wives, you're going to get it next week. It's really the picture, it's the model of Jesus and the church. And so we can all relate to that, can't we? So we're going to start off this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 5. All of the verses will be up on the screen. And as well, there's a pew Bible right in front of you. I think everyone wants a good marriage. In fact, I don't think there's anyone who desires a bad marriage. But one question that I want you to ponder, how many truly happy marriages are there? How many? How many marriages that you know of are truly happy? And so I think that percentage, that number is relatively small in our culture. And so what's the problem? And I know what's going through your mind right now. All you wives are thinking, I know what the problem is. I'll give you one word and it starts with an H. Could be, yep, him. I even had some points. Him or my husband. And I know what you men are thinking. You're not going to point because you're not that bold, but you're thinking this action right over here. What's the problem? Maybe people have never been told what it takes to have a happy marriage. Or maybe they've been told, but they're not willing to do what it takes to have a happy marriage. I believe, this is something I personally believe, I'm not saying you have to. I believe God created man. I believe God created woman. And then I believe God gave us this gift called marriage. I believe God is the creator, originator of all three of those things. So perhaps, just maybe, he knows best what it's going to take to get the most out of this thing called marriage. This morning we're going to look at husbands. Ephesians 5, we're going to start in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. We could stop right there and go home, but we'll go on. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us. First thing Paul does, the writer of this book, is he gives men an example. That's a good thing, isn't it, men? We don't just get things when, love your wives. What? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wives. He gives us an example. That he might sanctify her. That means to set her apart, to make her holy. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That she might be holy and without blemish. We had a wedding here yesterday and the bride came down the aisle all in white. And she was without blemish. She was beautiful. And I'm sure her husband was thinking the same thing. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Verse 31, which is a direct quote from Genesis 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cling to or cleave to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh, the mystery of oneness. This mystery is profound. That means it takes some thought. That means it's deep. We got to think about it a little bit. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husbands. Husbands and wives, love and respect. Let's open in a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your love. We're going to rely upon you, God, through your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Lord God, may these not be words that I speak, but may they be words that you speak deep into each one of our lives, into our hearts, and into our minds. Change us into your image, and may we be a reflection to bring you glory. Oh, we love you, God. Thanks a lot. In Jesus' name, amen. Love and respect. Love and respect is the famous, maybe infamous, but perfect balance in marriage. And it's what we need to do. Men want and need to be respected. It's something internal. It's innate within us. We need respect, don't we, men? Yes. Amen to that. And women, you need and want love, don't you? Yeah. Our natural tendency is to regulate or focus on the other person's responsibility. That is the natural tendency. If I am a man, I am going to naturally focus on my wife's need to respect me. And as a woman, it is our natural tendency, I believe, I've never been one, to naturally focus on my husband's need to love me. It's naturally within us, the desire is to focus on the other. And yet God never tells us, never calls us anywhere in Scripture to focus on anyone in this relationship but ourselves. Men can say, I'll show her love when she truly starts respecting me. And the woman will, on the other hand, say, I'll start respecting him when he starts loving me. And that begins a downward spiral in marriage, and I think that's where we're living as a culture. And it ends in one of two ways. It either ends in being unhappily married, if commitment is there, or it ends 50% or so of the time in divorce. And that's the reality of love and respect. This morning, we're going to look at three ways that we can truly live out this mystery of oneness. Commitment is important. We spoke vows. The bride and the groom spoke vows of their lifetime commitment to each other. And commitment is very, very important. But I believe with all of my heart, oneness is even better. Because if you have oneness in marriage, you will automatically have commitment. But just because you have commitment doesn't automatically mean you have oneness. We're going to look at three ways this morning what the husband's role is in living out this oneness that God speaks about. First way husbands love their wives, by sacrificially giving himself to her, by sacrificially giving himself to her. Ephesians 5:25 again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now that doesn't sound too hard. That doesn't sound too difficult in and of itself. I received an email from somebody here at Bayside. In fact, that somebody is here this morning. And I want to read this email to you. Man was riding his Harley David motorcycle along a California beach when suddenly the sky clouded above his head, and in a big booming voice, because God always speaks in a big booming voice, he said, "Because you have done your best to be faithful to me in all ways, I will grant you one wish." The biker pulled over and said, "Build a bridge to Hawaii so I can ride over anytime I want." All right. God replied, "Your request is materialistic. Think of the enormous challenges of that kind of undertaking, the supports required to the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and the steel that it would take. I can do it," God said, "but it's hard for me to justify your desire for worldly things. Take a little more time. Think about it a little bit. And think of something that could possibly help all of mankind." So the biker thought about it for a long time, and finally he said, "God, I wish that I and all men could finally understand women. I want to know how she feels on the inside. I want to know what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment. Why she cries, what she means when she says nothing's wrong and I know something's wrong. Why she snaps at me and complains when I try to help, and how I can really make women happy." And to that God replied, "You want two lanes or four on that bridge?" Men, luckily for us, we don't have to understand all women. Amen? We just have to love one. We just have to learn to love one. Let's go back to our example, Jesus and the church. How did Jesus love the church? We know that God loved the world so much he gave his son. We know that Jesus loved the church so much he gave his very life. What did Jesus actually give up? Our model is Jesus. What did he actually give up in coming to earth for the church? He gave up his position. He gave up his comfort. He gave up his time. He gave up his pride. He gave up his life. And he gave up his very self. Men, did you hear that? Jesus gave up his position, comfort, time, pride, life, and his very self. I believe, and I'm going to propose this morning, that, and this is for both people, but we're focusing on husbands this morning, I believe that for a marriage to experience true newness of life and oneness in life, it's going to, at times, feel like death. How's that for a proposition for you? Been there, done that, I just heard. I believe at times to experience oneness and newness in life that the Bible is talking about, it is at times, I didn't say all times, at times it's going to feel like death. Husbands, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us to experience this oneness. There's sacrifice. Now remember, men and husbands, this is not based in weakness. This sacrifice is based in strength, leadership, and courage, because that's how Jesus sacrificed. In strength, in leadership, and in courage. Our culture is not moving towards this picture of marriage. I believe our culture currently portrays men as weak, as dumb, or as jerks. When I wrapped my mind around what our culture, how they see men, it's weak, they're dumb, or they're jerks. It's certainly not seen as pictures, examples, or models of Jesus. Men, how do we truly love our wives sacrificially? I came up with a little mini list. Number one, we need to learn to talk. We need to communicate. We need to open up our mouths and talk about things. Give them our words. We talk about the things that they care about, even if we don't care about them. That's the honest truth. We talk about the things that they care about, even if we don't care. We use our words. Here's some good phrases to learn, I think. I'm trying to learn these myself. Tell me about your day. Whoa. I was wrong. Can you forgive me? I don't know how many years it took me to learn that. Still learning. Here's two good phrases. You're beautiful, and I love you. And don't just use those men at certain times. You know what I'm saying. How does this play out at my house? I need to save up some of my words. Most of the day, I am talking all day long to you. And I love it. And to other people, and I love it. And I get energized by it. By the end of a long day, I feel like my words have all been used up. I need to save some of those words so that when I get home at the end of the day, I can communicate with my bride. I got to save some words. Then I need to learn to understand. Again, there's no way I can learn to understand all women. We can't do that, but I need to learn to understand one. I need to learn what she responds to. I need to learn what she enjoys. I need to learn what helps her grow in her faith. I need to learn the times of a day, the times of the day when she's tired, when she needs me to help, when she's ready to talk. I need to save some of my energy so that I can do that. I asked my wife this week, how can I show you I love you? She said, you do it with the stuff you do, your actions. Do things for our wives, kind things, things around the house. Things, again, that we don't necessarily care about. Things that don't bug us, but that bug her. We do those things. Things don't bug me much around the house. I really don't care. But she does. And so I do those things. Of course, we need to continue to pursue, cleave, hold fast to, and date our wives. I asked my wife, Monday is my normal study day, and I'm on the way home, and she said, well, how did it go today? And I said, well, I studied about husbands, and she said, how you doing? I said, I got a long way to go. And then realized I haven't been dating my wife. She's been setting up every single date, timeout that the two of us have together. She's been setting them all up. You know, I set them up when we were dating. I had no issues with that. Now, when does this reality of giving up, sacrificing for our wives get a little tricky? Perhaps there's a difference, and maybe there's things that we shouldn't necessarily give up. There may be a difference between giving up or sacrificing for our wives and always giving in to our wives. And I think there's a significant difference between those two things. If you have, like I do, a very strong wife. And I love my strong wife. She's strong. She's capable. She's a really, really successful, good woman, person. And I love that about her. She's got an opinion about everything. And many times those opinions are very good. But true agape love, I believe, doesn't always give people what they want. It focuses on what they need. And if we always give our wives what they want, we may not be leading. We at that point may be following. Jesus lived this out in Matthew 16. Jesus was telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, be betrayed, be killed on a cross. Peter took him aside and said, "Far be it from you, God, this will never happen." Peter, the picture of the church, was trying to distract Jesus from what Jesus knew he needed to do, which would bring God glory, and it was a part of why he had come. And Peter was trying to distract him from that, and Jesus very clearly went to the cross. Even when the church didn't want Jesus to fulfill his mission, he went. Husbands, if we always give in, then we may not be leading. Now, we must at times be firm. We must be strong. We must remain loving. We're not jerks about this. We're not overbearing about this. We're not, it's my way or the highway. That's not what it is. I want to read you two verses we need to think about when we're thinking about this perspective. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them ever. We can be firm, we can be strong, we can be resolute, never harsh with them. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. This is the balance in love. The balance is, I will sacrifice, I will give up, I will do everything up to my very life for you. But if this is the thing that God has put me in here to do, then I have to do this. We can be resolute, we can be strong, we can be firm. We love our wives by giving ourselves to them. Second way we love our wives, second way we love is by leading her in the Word. Leading her in the Word. The next couple verses from Ephesians 5, that he being Jesus, might sanctify her. Her is the church. Sanctify means, again, to set apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. God's Word can clean us and cleanse us, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. I like that. Look at what Jesus is doing. He is presenting the church back to himself. He is wanting to look at, notice, the church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now the church looks beautiful and perfect in the eyes of Christ. Jesus sanctified, set apart the church through the Word because he was the Word. There are some things in these verses that I want to look at that I think give us some tips on being a good husband. First of all, it says Jesus sanctified her. That means set her apart. I need to set my wife apart from the rest. This is a choice I consciously make in my mind. She's the one. She's special. I consciously pull her out from the pack and I place her in a very special place. The rest of the ladies on the planet are fine, but this is the one. This is the one. What gets men into trouble is when they began setting other women apart. That's what gets us into trouble. We take one woman and we take her and we sanctify her, we set her apart, and we say, this is the one. This is her. And it says that Jesus cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Jesus is the Word, so he could just cleanse others. But I must wash myself in the Word first. I must lead her in the Word. There's a mysterious reality that I've experienced at times. I don't understand it, but I've lived it at times in my life, not all times. The more that I wash myself here, the more that I naturally focus my life here, work on me here, the more it naturally trickles down and my wife has a desire to connect here. I can't explain that reality, but I believe it is. And I've seen it and I've lived it. The more I focus myself on the Word, that cleansing water naturally trickles down to the other people in my family. Third thing it says he presents the church to himself in splendor. That word splendor, listen to what this word means. This is how Jesus now sees the church. That word splendor in the original language means glorious, splendid, or listen to this one, gorgeously honorable. Gorgeously honorable. The more I wash my mind in here, the more gorgeous my wife becomes. Did you hear that? The more that I am in here washing myself with the Word, the more beautiful, gorgeous, and splendid my bride becomes. Now remember, this only works if I've set her apart from the rest. It only works if I'm washing myself in God's Word. It only works if both parties are deeply ingrained and involved in this process. If I want to love my wife, I must lead her in the Word. Allow the Word to wash me, clean me, sanctify me. This will naturally spill over into my wife. If I want my wife to be more beautiful and gorgeous to my eyes, well, then get my eyes in here. Get my eyes here, and my life will be more and more beautiful to me every day. That's why I wanted men to lead our 40 days of prayer. That's why I wanted men to grab a hold of that and be the leaders of that in our homes. I believe it's impossible for me to love my wife as Christ loved the church without leading the process of abiding in the true vine of Jesus and His Word. I think it's impossible to be that reflection without me leading the way through the Word. The final way, men, we're almost done. Take a breath. I hope this is good for us as husbands. Ladies, don't get upset if your husband isn't fully here, because if that's the case, my wife's going to be upset with me when I go home. Remember, our natural tendency is to focus on the other person and start enforcing what they need to do and what they're naturally not doing. God tells us to focus on us. Husbands, final way we love our wives. I like this one a lot. By unnaturally loving her like he naturally loves himself. Isn't that good? We unnaturally, it's not natural for us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We unnaturally love her like he naturally loves himself. Last two verses. And in these last two verses, Paul's going to give us an analogy that we can relate to on how to love. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and he cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. In essence, what Paul is saying is, you know, men, you know how much you love yourself. You know that. You love yourself. Don't deny it. Now learn to love your wife like you love yourself. You know how much you think about yourself? And this is me. I know how much I think about myself. All the time. You know how much you think about yourself? Think about your wife like that. You know how much you focus on yourself? Focus on her that much. You know how much you feel and care for yourself? Do that for her. Look at the second half of verse 28. He who loves his wife loves himself. If I truly start loving my wife, I will get what I want out of marriage. If I love my wife, I'm actually loving myself. He who loves his wife loves himself. Because if I give what she needs, I will get what I need. To receive what we want and need, we must give what they want and need. It's the perfect balance. And it's the only way to achieve this oneness that he's talking about. Verse 29, we've talked about this before, but I like it. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Look at those two things, men, husbands, that we naturally do. We nourish our bodies and we cherish our bodies. We nourish our bodies. How many of you men, husbands, do you love to eat? Just go ahead. We love to eat. We love to feed ourselves. We love it. Right now, we'd love it. If I offered any one of you a steak. We love to feed ourselves and nourish ourselves. We love to get the most out of our body for energy and strength and work and pleasure. We naturally do that. In the same way, we should nourish our wives through the Word, washing with the Word. That should be what we will do. We nourish ourselves naturally. Let's nourish our wives and our families. It's unnatural, but we can learn to do it. He gives us an example. The second thing he says is we naturally cherish our bodies. Ladies, you're not going to understand this. I know we've talked about it. But men naturally, from a very young age, love to look at themselves. We love it. If you look at little boys, and I remember my best friend, Paul, and I in the mirror as little kids. We did it! Little boys love to look at themselves. And sometimes not so little boys do too. Women, you go to the mirror to fix yourselves. Men, you go to the mirror because you like what you see. There's no fixing necessary. Why do you think, ladies, you spend so much time You're trying to fix. Men have nothing to fix. It's all good in our own eyes. Justin Tunnell is serving in the Air Force, and he's getting ready to come home, and there's now a picture floating around. Justin was a pretty thin guy when he left. He played lead guitar for us here before he left, and we're hoping he's going to come back and do that. He was a pretty thin guy. He's put on 20, 25 pounds while he's been away. And what he did after gaining, and these 25 pounds are pretty much muscle. And what he did, and I just saw the picture this morning, is he took a picture of himself in front of the mirror and started sending it to people. He's shirtless. He's really, really pleased with himself. If I looked like that, I probably would be sending you all pictures. I need to enjoy looking at my wife like I've naturally enjoyed looking at myself. I've heard it said, and men, I want you to remember this, please. I need to be my wife's mirror. I need to be her mirror. Let me define her beauty. Let me be the one, not Hollywood or other men. Let me be the one to define the beauty of my wife. Let me be her mirror. I don't know if there's a woman alive who doesn't like to be told she's beautiful. Never been one, but I got to think that that's pretty consistent. Men, let's be our wives' mirror. Husbands, men, this is not going to be easy. This is definitely not cultural, but we must do this. We must do this. We must be cross-cultural in this way. We must love our wives to be that reflection of Jesus and the church. No more weak men. Amen? No more dumb men. Amen? And no more jerks. Let's be loving, let's be strong, let's be faithful men of God, reflecting Jesus to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us an example. We thank you, dear God, that you gave us the perfect example of what it means to be a godly husband. God, we can't do this on our own. I will be the first to stand here and say I can't do this on my own without a complete intervention by you. And so, God, I ask that you would fill us as husbands, as men, with what it's going to take to be the husbands for our wives that you've called us to be. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example. Jesus, thank you for coming and laying down your life for each of us, that we might be saved. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.